Right, great message there in song. We'll be in 2 Timothy this morning. 2 Timothy, you have your Bibles. Good to be in the Lord's house this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we'll begin reading in verse 1 and go down through verse 4. Then if you also wanted to turn to Acts chapter 20, verses 18 through 24, that's where we'll be this morning. And the title of this morning's message is actually a question. Are you a good soldier? Are you a good soldier? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Thou therefore, and my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. In the things that thou hast learned of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Lord, as we come before you, thank you for the opportunity to gather in your house this morning. As your word is open, just ask you to lead and guide. Ask you to give me the words that you would have me to say as we look at being a good soldier this morning. I trust we all would desire to be a good soldier. And if not, may we leave here today with that desire. In Jesus' name. Amen. Again, this morning, we're dealing with the question, are you a good soldier? Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Paul wasn't telling Timothy, this young soldier, to quit when things got hard. Paul wasn't telling this young soldier to take a step back when things were no longer easy. Paul lived what he was telling Timothy here. He isn't counseling this young soldier in something that he hasn't lived. Paul, perhaps at this time in his life, he's reminiscing on his life of service to God. Paul said, thou therefore endure hardness. The word endure means to bear with patience. You know how hard that is to bear something with patience? That is a hard thing to do, just to endure. You're in the thick of it, and you want it to be over. You want there to be a quick resolve. To bear with patience. To bear without opposition or sinking under pressure. How many times do we just want to cave? We just want to give up. We just want to give in. We just want to let go. The word hardness means hardship, severe labor, trials, or sufferings. So a good soldier will endure hardship. Without a doubt, when the Apostle Paul warns Timothy of hardness and challenges Timothy to endure it, again, he was reminiscing on some of the hardness that he's faced along his journey of serving the Lord. We read of the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 20. If you wanted to turn there, Acts chapter 20, verses 18 through 24. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you, and have taught you publicly, and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth, in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Emphasis here on verse 19, serving the Lord. That's our first emphasis. Number one, a good soldier serves the Lord. We've been saved to serve. We've been called to serve God, which means God is our master, and where he leads, we should follow because we are his servant. This means what the Bible commands we are to do, as the Bible is our manual for service. And this Bible is full of service. This Bible is full of service and devotion that has led many people into uncomfortable, life-threatening situations. And one of the worst things that the devil will tell you is that if it's hard, that God is not in it. The Bible and church history will tell you that any man or woman to ever do anything for God did so on the back of adversity. It was said by one man that was dying a martyr's death, "Let me now confirm with my blood what I have written and preached." You know, there'll come a day in your life that you'll have to validate your message. There'll come in day in your life that you'll have to validate your positions. And you validate it on the back of suffering. See, if you're honest today, you don't care what a man believes if he comes up next to some opposition and he changes. If he shifts. When you validate your positions, when you validate what you believe on the back of suffering, it tells those who follow you that you mean what you say, that you practice what you preach, that you live out the message. Notice also how Paul served. He served with humility in mind. So a good soldier serves with humility. Now the humility of Paul, I do believe, helped him a lot in handling the mistreatments and injustices that were sent his way by others. In Paul's mind, he was a nobody. Now, I tell you, it's hard to offend a nobody. So if and when somebody came along and called Paul a nobody or treated him as a nobody, then no harm, no foul. You know, we're only offended by comments and actions toward us that undermine the opinions that we have of ourselves. The Apostle Paul would have never been able to accomplish what he did for God were it not for his humility. If it were not for his humility, his pride and hurt pride would have prevented him from doing something for God. He would have been offended day in and day out. He would have had a woe is me mentality. He would have had the mindset of a victim. And he'd have never been able to do anything for God, because God can't use victims. God uses overcomers. And Paul was humble, and because he was humble, he didn't wear sorrow like a badge of honor. He didn't wear grief as though it was a badge of honor. Did he have something to sorrow about? Absolutely. Did he have something to grieve over? Absolutely. He didn't wear pain like a badge of honor. He didn't wear the words of opposition, the beatings of opposition, like a badge of honor. He lived out his ministry with humility in mind. Notice this also, a good soldier will shed many tears. Paul was a man of sorrow. He cried a lot. I would too if I went through everything that Paul went through. Many tears from being beaten, from being shipwrecked, spending days at sea. He hungered and he was thirsty. You think of the perils that he went through, but more than all of this would be the emotional trauma that the Apostle Paul went through. You and I don't like feeling alone. You and I don't like feeling like we, the Elijah mentality, we're the only one trying to stand. You don't like feeling like friends have forsaken you, or that you're the laughing stock. I tell you what, it was probably difficult for Paul to find people to serve with, because everywhere Paul went,
he got in a bind. Which means if you were with him, you're going to get strung up with him. Hungering and thirsting and nakedness. We won't go into the book of Corinthians, but Paul outlines the life of an apostle. Hungering, thirsting, nakedness. No certain dwelling place. It's an offscoring of the people. They were treated as those with disease, as those that are lepers. They were mocked. They were ridiculed. They were disrespected. All of these things are accompanied by an emotional pain that cuts deeper than the actions themselves. Paul says, many tears. How would you feel if everywhere you went, people wanted to kill you? People maybe spit at you, cursed at you, ran you out of town. Paul was imprisoned for his faith. He was stoned and some say to death, but God brought him back. And then temptations. A good soldier will be tempted. You know, Paul was tempted like us by the devil and by others. So he also had to endure temptations. The devil is out to get the good soldier. And one of the tactics that he'll use is self-destruction. If he can get you to destroy you, he will. The devil will tempt you. The devil will lay snares out in front of you, tempting you to bite so you can destroy your own self. Paul says, in temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. So notice also a good soldier is going to have a target on their back. I believe the Jews not only lied in wait to kill him, but they also lied in wait to try and trap him, to ensnare him, to cause him to fall. Kind of like Delilah with Samson. Delilah was recruited by the enemies of God and given commission by them for one reason, to find out about Samson's strength. And she did. And Samson gave his strength to a harlot. When we consider the Jews tempting him, we could liken it to bait, to traps. Paul had to endure a lot. But I'm encouraged by the next two words, and now. Thank God for the and now. Without God, Paul wouldn't have had an and now. And neither would you after some of the stuff y'all have been through. But Paul says, and now, essentially, after all this, I am moving on still. Here I go, I am continuing, I'm moving on. In verse 22, and now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. A good soldier's bound in the Spirit. You may ask, why did Paul keep going back? Why did Paul keep preaching? Because he was bound in the Spirit. There was a Chinese pastor who, forget his name, it's in the message I preached some time ago on a Wednesday night, I believe, about church persecution and how the Lord uses persecution against the church. It's a Chinese pastor. Started a church. He'd get arrested. Church would grow while he was in prison. He'd get out of prison. He'd come back, start pastoring the church. Get arrested again. Go back to prison. Church would grow again while he was in prison. Just an amazing thing. And some people might ask, why would that pastor keep going back to that church knowing if he gets caught again, he's going back to prison? Why? Because he's bound in the Spirit. Why'd Paul keep preaching? He was bound in the Spirit. Why do some Christians not suffer? They're not bound in the Spirit. They get up to the point of suffering and they bail on the Holy Spirit. And you know what? There are a lot of believers who have reached a point in their life where they say, if I get this close to God, the battle against me, the opposition amps up. If I get this close to God, so I don't want to get that close to God because the devil's going to be after me this much. And they settle for a place where they're just kind of in the middle. So why did Paul do it? Right here it says, I go bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem. If you leave with anything today, it's this. It's the key to the whole message. I go bound in the spirit. This means you're inseparable, essentially. You're bound together. You're knit. You're closer than close. And where the Spirit goes, you go. If he leads you as Abraham to potentially sacrifice your son, if he leads you before Pharaoh, if he leads you through the wilderness, if he leads you through dark days or into ships and calls you into storms like the disciples, or into a lion's den like Daniel, or into a hot and fiery furnace like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or before Goliath like David. And we could go on and on this morning of examples in the Bible of men and women who defied the laws of man serving God. I want you to know, without the Spirit, Paul wouldn't have went. You and I won't either. So I ask you, are you bound in the Spirit today? Because when you're bound to the Spirit, you go where he leads. And it does take being bound in the Spirit for what we see next. Verse 22, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. So a good soldier follows orders without the details. Paul's saying, I'm on my way to Jerusalem, and I don't even know what's going to happen when I get there. More tears, maybe. More beatings, maybe. More prison, maybe. Less meals, maybe. No certain dwelling place, maybe. Now, I want to make something clear this morning. The Holy Spirit never gives all the answers in order to get us to move. Why? Because we would be trusting in the details to go forward instead of the Spirit of God. Holy Spirit says, go, and I'll go before you. I'm not going to reveal everything to you. Then it's not faith if I reveal everything to you. Now, this is hard for all of us. Paul didn't have all the answers, and he actually only had two, according to his own words. Under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, he was following the Holy Spirit, so he was bound to the Holy Spirit, and he knew the gospel would go forth there. That's all he needed to know. God said, move, and he was bound to the Spirit. Paul didn't know what was going to happen when he got to Jerusalem. He could be stoned, he could be beaten, he could be ran out of town. It was nothing new. But to be a good soldier, you're going to have to endure. You have to be bound in the Spirit in order to go where the Lord leads. You know, I've often thought about even military service. See, in the military, once you sign up, it's often been stated that you are pretty much owned by the U.S. government. And it is very hard to get out of that contract that you signed. It is extremely hard. And I had people even tell me when they looked at my medical record when I got out and it was this thick. How on earth, and that's a whole nother story, but how on earth have you not been discharged before this on a medical basis? And I knew why after the fact. I didn't know why during. I was too much in my own way during. But after the fact, I knew exactly the Lord was holding it up. I wasn't ready to get out. I wasn't broke yet. And you know when the Lord broke me? About 3 months before I got out. They were talking about discharging me before I ever went to Iraq. But it never went anywhere. And I know why now. But when you sign up, it is hard to get out of that contract. And sometimes I wonder how many of us would have endured the hardness if we had a choice to get out. I might not have even finished boot camp. I don't know. I might not have even got out of boot camp had they gave me a choice. That first night, I'm thinking, good night in the morning. What is this? But in the Lord's army, you have a choice. You have a choice whether or not you're going to serve. You got a choice whether or not you're going to be a good soldier, or you're just going to put on the uniform and go through the motions. But you'll have to be bound in the Spirit in order to go where the Lord leads, not having all the answers. So many people stay home from church over what if. So many people won't give to God above and beyond their time, energy, and efforts over what if. Now, I'll be honest, we all have the what ifs. We could literally sit around at home all day long and think about the what ifs. You take a lot of risk just getting in your car. Just going down the road, you take a lot of risk. It seems like, for whatever reason, it's a death trap between here and Rust on 69. For cars, trucks, semis, motorcycles, it don't matter who you are, what you in, what you own. So I was looking up the most dangerous roads in Texas because it seems like, for whatever reason, 69 has a lot of accidents. So I was looking it up. But it's crazy, you take a lot of risks just getting in your car. But there are certain risks that we've gone ahead and we've just assumed without even thinking about it so much. You reach a certain point, you get your license. You reach a certain point, you're driving all over the country. You've just assumed certain risks. We don't even really think about it that much anymore, but we could, and there are people who do, who don't drive over what if, what if, what if, what if, what if. What if? And there are many people who won't serve God, who won't do something for God because of what if, what if, what if, what if. We could sit around all day and think about what if and want to have a question or an answer to what if. But I invite you today, when the Lord lays something on your heart, just do it. Just do it. Now, that's a place that you arrive at as the Lord leads you, because I've got that wrong a whole bunch of times in my life. I've sat when the Lord said move. I know what that's like. I know exactly what that's like. I was on a detour for years out of my life because I could not get an answer to what if. The Lord wouldn't give it to me. And then I blamed him for not telling me. When the Lord just says move, here's what I want you to do. Do this. Give what if to God, as Paul did, and just go all in. God only blesses fully, an all-in kind of attitude for him. In verse 23, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. A good soldier is going to experience suffering. If you want to be a good soldier and you don't want to experience suffering, now I get it, we all don't want to, but if it reaches a certain level where you say, you know what, I'm just not going to do anything for the Lord because it's going to come with suffering, then we're going to miss out on a lot. Paul is saying the Holy Ghost is my witness. Now that's a strong witness, by the way, the most credible there is. He cannot lie, and God is his witness. That in every city, bonds and afflictions abide. So in every city, he was arrested. He was afflicted. This was beatings and stonings in every city. Paul could not go into a city without it. It's been said that everywhere Paul went, there was either revival or riots. Paul was the most persecuted, I believe, of all the apostles. And part of that reason, and some disagree with me on this, and that's fine, it's entirely fine. But I believe part of the reason that Paul suffered the most persecution as he did, even though he was forgiven, consequences still follow. You cannot get rid of consequences. Sometimes we try to elevate man to such a position, and at times I believe Paul has been elevated to such a position that we don't believe anything negative about him, even the negative things that he said about himself. There are some people, it's almost, and I don't want to be irreverent here, but it's almost like there are some people out there who put a man up on a pedestal as if he's some form of holy cow, so to speak, and he has no negative. I don't know a man on this earth that has no negative. that is all positive, that hasn't done anything wrong, isn't doing anything wrong, and can't be doing anything wrong in the future. You know, it's been said of Paul, if he were standing here today and removed his shirt, he'd be scarred all over from beatings and scourgings with a whip, with pieces of glass or metal in the whip that ripped pieces of his flesh off. Josephus said many times that those who went through these scourgings would oftentimes have their innards laying at their feet from where the whip ripped their flesh off, causing their innards to spill out on the ground, and they would die slowly. Paul, I'm sure, wished he could have died some of the time, would have died some of the time. What really humbles me and blows my mind after all that Paul went through down in verse 24, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. So a good soldier won't be moved. We won't reference all that Paul went through in other passages. They're alluded to in this passage for the most part. But Paul says, none of these things moved me. Not government. By the way, it was the government that was sitting at the top of a lot of the persecution that Paul was going through. Man's laws didn't move Paul. Not the beatings and the scourgings, again, which is at the hands of the government at the time, and prison at the hands of the government. None of these things moved Paul. Now, this is a challenge to me and to us, because we don't know what we would do until the time comes. Most of us in here, all of us, have not faced anywhere near the level of persecution that not only Paul experienced, but others in many places in the earth, around the earth. You know, there are a lot of missionaries, local nationals, that we know nothing about. We've never heard of them. We've never heard of them. They serve quietly. They're serving in their villages. Never heard of them. None of these things moved Paul. Paul was not moved by the blood that he shed, the tears that he shed, the pain that he felt. And I hope that I can get to the end of my life and say, after a life of service to God and all that it entails, that none of these things moved me. I like the hymn, I shall not be moved. Like a tree that's planted by the water, I shall not be moved. It's a good song, good message about the things of God. We shouldn't be that way over silly things, but about the things of God and His Word, we should stay planted on it. We should stay fixed on it. Because a good soldier won't be moved. Paul says, neither count I my life dear unto myself. It's in verse 24. A good soldier doesn't count his life dear. Even in the military, I served with guys, many of you too, who valued the mission over their own life. Just having a conversation with somebody the other day, and Sarah would talk about how grim I used to talk when I was in the military. I didn't see myself having a long life. Our whole existence was revolved around death. Either knowing that there's a good possibility you're going to die, and then you're trained to kill others. I just didn't see myself really making it too long. Figured something was going to happen to me. And then when I got out of the Marines, I'm still in that combative mindset. So in my mind, I could die at the restaurant today. I could die at Walmart today. I could die in my house tonight. Somebody's going to break in. I was constantly on edge and constantly planning out every little situation. I'd go into the restaurant, couldn't focus on my wife. I'm focused on the exits. I'm focused on windows. I'm looking at people. I'm studying people, saying, okay, I don't like the look of that person. They're a threat. Something's off about this one over here. And then I start identifying those who would potentially be on my side. They got a certain look to them. I'm looking for prints, prints in terms of guns. So I know where all the guns are in the room the best I can. I was a mess. I didn't think, and my mindset's changed. I pray for a long life, if that be the Lord's will. I don't feel like death is imminent for me. Used to feel that way, but I don't think it is anymore. But only the Lord knows. But a good soldier doesn't count his life dear. If he does, he's going to lose sight of the mission. He's going to lose sight of the cause. There are men, even in battle, and women now too, who in the thick of it, because they count their life dear, they become so scared, so frightened, that they lose sight of the mission. And they value their life over the mission. You know, Paul was willing to lose his life in service to our Savior to be a good soldier. To be a good soldier, you're going to have to value the life of Christ over your own. You have to count his life more dear to you than your own. And remember, it's our reasonable service because Christ gave his life. Because he gave us his, we give him ours. And he doesn't necessarily ask any of us to go, that might be his will, but he doesn't necessarily ask us to give our life in terms of death, but he wants us to be a living sacrifice, a living sacrifice. That's where we have given ourselves fully over to the Lord. We've given our life to him for him to use. Now that may be that the Lord chooses to take us home through some path of martyrdom. But that's not entirely what it's referring to. And counting the life of Christ more dear to yourself than your own, it accomplishes something for you, what it accomplished for Paul. We see in verse 24, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. If you sacrifice the church, the gospel, and the word on the altar to save your own hide, you may sit safe in your house, but you won't have joy there. And I can tell you, if you don't fight, if you don't contend, if you don't risk any of yourself, you won't sit at home safe and experience the joy of God while you hear about your brothers and sisters in Christ who are on the front lines valuing the life of Christ over their own. Now, I remember one of the most, and it will be until the day I die, one of the most miserable times in my life was when I didn't deploy to Afghanistan. My unit went. And they were over there fighting. And I was hearing about them dying. guys that I knew, guys that at that point I had served with for 3 years, I'd went to boot camp with, at Paris Island, I'd gone to School of Infantry with them. I trained with them in the workup to go to Iraq. I had deployed to them with them to Iraq. I'd come back from Iraq with them. I went through a second workup to go to Afghanistan with them. And then I got cut. And I tell you what, I did not have joy until they got home. I didn't have any excitement or any peace until they got home. I didn't want to eat when they were gone. I didn't take joy in my family while they were gone because they were not with their families. They were off at war and they were fighting. And you know what? They came back. And it was almost like I didn't know them anymore. Afghanistan was worse than our deployment to Iraq. It's all in God's timing. I may not be here today. Had I deployed to Afghanistan, you may have a different pastor. Have I deployed to Afghanistan? It definitely would have messed my timeline up, for sure. Because I'd have had even more to get over. I'd have had even more to work through. So the Lord has it all figured out. I'm just referring to how miserable I was because there were people that I knew, my brothers who were out fighting while I was at home. And I couldn't get any joy out of that. I couldn't get any peace out of it. And I'm telling you, there are people, even Christians, who may decide that they're just going to retreat from battle. They're not going to go in. They're not going to fight. They're not going to serve. You won't sit at home with joy. You won't sit at home with peace. Paul says, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus. Lastly, a good soldier wants to finish well. Paul wanted to finish his leg of the ministry. God had something for Paul, and Paul wanted to finish it because it was given to him. Then he ends with, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Paul's a great example of someone who fought and fought well. Can you say today that in spite of all, none of these things moved me? I don't know a lot about everyone here, but everybody here would have a story to tell of things that have happened in your life, things that have happened in the past, and you sit here today. In spite of it, you sit here today. To that degree, you can look back and say, none of those things moved me. Paul says, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so it's sacrifice. You know, it's not only good enough for our veterans, it's not only good enough for Christian martyrs, but it should be good enough for us. If it won't be good enough for us, the gospel message won't be as accessible as it is now to the generations to come that we are paving the way for. Now, when you think about that, as you're walking a path, if you were clearing a path, and you knew that people would be coming behind you on that path, you might take a little bit more attention. You might pay a little bit more of attention that those who are coming behind you would have it a little bit easier than what you had. I trust we have some good soldiers in here today. If you are, we need you to stay that way. If you aren't, we need you to decide today that with the Lord's help, you'll do what you can to be a good soldier. And it's something that we have to fight for. And it's up to the Lord to determine whether or not you're a good soldier. It's up to the Lord to determine whether or not I am, because we don't know our hearts like that. The Lord does. So allow the Lord to examine you today. And I'll allow the Lord to examine me today and see, hey, where could I be a better soldier at? Lord, as we come before you, thank you for the opportunity to be in your house.